If we lived like all of that was true. Today we continue looking at these virtues, faith, love, and hope. 2 weeks from today, we will elect a new church board to guide us through the call and assimilation of a new pastor in 2016. This project doesn't stop when I retire or when the new pastor gets moved into town. We're working on a strategy that takes us through into the continuation of a new chapter in the life of this church. Electing a new board 2 weeks from today to guide us through those 2 years. This new board will identify a profile of who New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene is as a church family. Our strengths, our gifting, our challenges, in the light of our community and our times. This profile, in turn, will shape a description for the pastor you will call to lead you into the future. In consultation with our district superintendent, the ladies and men you elect will nominate a candidate for you to call as pastor of this church. Please be praying intentionally for the election of this church board and for those who are elected, because these brothers and sisters in Christ, not those elected ones, these brothers and sisters in Christ, whom you will elect, carry the responsibility of managing the business responsibilities of our church and overseeing its ministries. Please note, friends, you are not electing an advisory board who simply represents you and makes suggestions to the leaders. We don't have that kind of a board. I've been a part of advisory boards. Those are ones when I go in, I listen to the report of the director raises some questions, and I, along with others, say, well, we could try this, we could try that, and we give some assignments, and we show up a month or two or three later at the next meeting and say, well, how did it go? That's an advisory board. Just to be blunt, we ain't got that kind of board. We're not that kind of a people. You are electing a church board to lead you in harmony with pastor and district superintendent in the ministries of this church. You're asking them to, you are literally saying, friends, we're asking you to lead me into ministry, not to do it for me. The whole line is we elect people to do things for us. We hire a pastor to do everything for us. A hireling, that is not scripture. That is heresy. That is not church. Church is people involved. I've already said it today in the membership recognition. Church is involvement in the ministry of Jesus Christ as God has assigned to us as a congregation. You are electing a leadership team. People who will lead you. That means you're accepting the responsibility to follow. So in 2 weeks from today, as you pick up that ballot and you begin to mark it, you're saying, I will follow, I will follow, I will. Did anybody ever think of that? If you don't want to follow, don't vote. If you want to just hire someone to do everything for you, forget it, don't vote. Just save yourself and us some frustration, because you're not going to be happy. There ain't been a board yet that's done it all right. You got it? Should we just say amen and go home from here? But as we prepare organizationally and institutionally, I have sensed a prompt to focus our attention on spiritual cultivation of our church using this letter to the Colossians as a manual. And the objective of this letter to the Colossians is simply this: to present us to God perfect in Christ. Yeah, perfect. The first chapter of that letter contains this prayer we looked at a few weeks ago, which I think contains a vision statement or core values or whatever you want to call them. May God give us complete knowledge of His will along with spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we want God to give that to us so we can say, look what I got. No, God gives us His understanding so that we will be honor and pleasing to the Lord in everything we do. We will produce fruit in every good work, personally and as a church. Growing the knowledge of God. Be strengthened with His glorious power, the power with which He raised Jesus from the dead, filled with great joy. Wow. Let that shape you. Now, in that chapter, the Apostle Paul identifies three cardinal virtues. Join with me in unison in reading these three cardinal virtues. Faith in Christ Jesus, love for all God's people, confident hope of what God has reserved for them in heaven. Now, this is more than just faith, love, hope. Aren't those wonderful? I believe. What do you believe in? Well, I love. Who don't you love? Hope. Well, I got. No. Faith in Christ Jesus. Love for all God's people. Confident hope. Comes from these verses. The Apostle Paul. Would you join with me in unison reading of these verses, please? We always pray for you. And we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have heard this, or you have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace, God's phenomenal love. What would happen if we made these three virtues just standards for us? Core values. Faith in Christ Jesus. There's more than just faith. It's not believing in yourself. That's heresy. Believe in Christ Jesus. Love for all God's people. Confident hope of what God has reserved for us in heaven. Last week we looked at this one, faith in Christ Jesus as Lord. And we notice faith is a God-given capacity to believe and to act on that belief. God created you with it. There is no such thing as a person without faith. When someone says, how much faith do you have? I never want to hear you say again, I don't have faith, or I've just got a little faith. That's absolutely irrelevant. Where is it hitched? That's the question. Now, the question is not, do I have faith? The question is, who do I believe in? You were created with it. I used the illustration last week. If you buy a car, there's just a standard steering wheel in it, isn't it? You don't ask whether it has a steering wheel. You just assume that. That's supposed to be there. If you look at that car and there's no steering wheel, you've either jumped way into the future or you're missing. Yeah, it's just, friends, you already have faith. God created you with it. That's a part of the image of God in us. The question is not whether you have faith. The question is, where is it plugged in? If it's plugged in Jesus Christ, He is shaping you. So if you're not growing, your faith is somewhere else. It's not in Christ. Is that harsh enough? I never want to hear one of you saying, well, I haven't got faith. Yes, you do. The question is, where is it plugged in? God gave it to you. Start using it and directing it. You see, as Christians, we place our faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus has proclaimed in Scripture, in Jesus as Lord for eternal life. We live as followers of Jesus day in and day out, and that will shape you. We live daily as citizens of the kingdom of God in the middle of this world, and we are called to constantly cultivate that faith in Christ Jesus. You will be tempted to place that faith somewhere else. You will be tempted to quit. That's Satan's job. Your opportunity is to every day renew it. Faith in Christ Jesus as boss. I ask you today, where's your faith centered? We don't have time to stay with that one. Let's go to the next one. Love for all God's people. Came across this statement in a book I'm reading this week. It went this way. Most church boats don't like to be rocked. They prefer to lie at anchor rather than go places in stormy seas. But that's because we Christians view the church as the object of our love instead of the subject and instruments of God's love. You're going to bless me today, Lord. Oh, bless me, Lord. Oh, I'll thank you today. You gave me great blessings. When did you pass it on? Who did you touch? We are the recipients. There's no question about it. Praise be to God. In the songs that gave thanks to God for his blessings, he has blessed us over and over and over and over and over. Here's the next question. Did you pass it on? God never gave you his love just to say, oh, this feels good. Oh, thank you. Just cuddle me up a little closer, Lord. It's cold outside. He says, no, I want you to go out and cuddle somebody else and extend my love to someone else. Love for all God's people, for one another in this church. Jesus said the world will know us because of the way we love one another. They will know we are Jesus' followers because of the way we love one another. Are you known for your criticism of one another in the church, or are you known for your love that you express for one another? Which is it? Which is more prominent in your discussion? Them bad people? Them terrible people? Or is it an expression of love for? Again, I just say it. I'm going to tell you right now. No one's perfect. You're going to look for the perfect pastor. He was already crucified and he went to heaven. He didn't stay around very long. They didn't like him. And you wouldn't like him either. And so he chooses representatives like me. Sorry about that. To lead people like you. Oh, my word. You know, it's easier sometimes to love strangers in Africa and India than sisters and brothers in our family or in our church family. Question, how are you expressing your love for one another today? Did you come wondering who's going to say hi to you, or did you come ready to say hi, the Lord bless you, to someone else, genuinely? Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this was the second greatest commandment. St. Paul, he went a little further. He said, this is the greatest of the commandments. It summarizes everything else. How are we expressing God's love to our neighbors and our communities? How are we doing that? What kind of a difference are you making? Now, here's the beauty. This love grows out of our faith in Christ. Yes, this love is a mandate. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. You got that? You see the finger wagging in your face? Get busy. It's a mandate. It's an imperative, not a suggestion. It is a mandate. Not only that, it's a call to love one another genuinely. Love each other as I have loved you. Oh, I love them, but you have to understand, I don't like them. That's a cop-out. I've used it. I know. That's not Jesus. What would you say how would you feel if Jesus loves me, he just doesn't like me? Wait a minute. What did Jesus say? Love one another. How? How am I supposed to love one another? I'm supposed to love one another the way Jesus loves me. He loves me. He just doesn't like me anymore. Because I'm obstinate and I'm obnoxious. And I'm despicable. And I got habits. Pope Benedict the 16th, in a letter to the church, said, in my life, or if in my life I fail completely to heed others, solely out of a desire to be devout and to perform my religious duties, then my relationship with God will also grow arid. It becomes merely proper, but loveless. Got good theology. I do pretty good. I just don't show it. It's interesting in this first chapter of the letter to the Colossians, after that passage that I read to you in the 7th and 8th verse, the Apostle Paul says to them, we have learned about the good news about you from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. What are you doing with what God's given to you by the Holy Spirit? You see, according to Scripture, God heals wounded souls and empowers authentic love for others by pouring his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Read it. The Holy Spirit enables us to genuinely forgive those who sin against us. May we pray, forgive us our sins as we have already forgiven those who sin against us? I forgive them, but. And the emphasis is, but. I know. And there are different issues of trust. But we love them and we reach out. Love our enemies. Read it. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. No, don't. You don't. It'll mess you up. Be representatives of Jesus in our world. The Apostle John wraps it up this way. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. I want to talk about hope, but there's too much to say to get it done in the next 4 minutes. So can we just put off hope until next week? Bump up to that 23rd slide, would you please, for me? Cardinal virtues. Faith,
love,
hope. Let me just make a confession today. Looking back over the past 29 years, one of my disappointments has been our inability to develop a solid ministry for young adults. Friends, we have seen a number of our young adults disperse across the country, various ministries, professions. God has raised them up and developed them. They're following Jesus as Lord, making an impact. But there's a group of emerging adults that have drifted from the church and the ways of Christ we taught them as children and teens. The temptation is to get discouraged, critical, blame, condemn. And it bothers me. What would happen if we engaged these three virtues that I'm working with these few weeks as we think about, pray for, and maintain connection with emerging adults? That's how they're oftentimes referred to. There's different names of this generation. It's post-high school, early, what we used to call young adult. Now they're called emerging. They're coming into their own. You've heard the phrase, 21 is the new 16. Faith in Christ believes the seeds of the gospel planted in their lives are alive and germinating in their souls. For some of us, those seeds seem to be dormant. But here's my confidence. The Holy Spirit uses that seed to draw them back. Friends, society has changed. Old programming doesn't work like it used to. Just sort of glance around the church. Identify some adults that are in leadership roles in our church that have been here through childhood and teen years and are still here. Not very many. Let the Holy Spirit continue to identify some people that have moved on out into ministry across our world. Now, as you look across that, look at some of our leadership. Did they grow up in this church? I wonder who the local church is that nurtured me. In Council Bluffs, Iowa, I'm not there anymore. There was a church in South Dakota that taught a Nancy Myers the way of grace, and she's not there anymore. There's Dolores, not far away. You grew up in Redding. Can anything? No. Come on. Here's Alan. Maine? You a Mainer or a maniac? I don't know. Both. Maniac-o-manier. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Kathy and I are going through a book, The Rise of the Nuns, not N-U-N-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. It's that whole gamut of our society that claims no connection to church and focuses on this group called emerging adults. Friends, some of you thought, well, if we can just hire a full-time youth minister that'll deal with that group. No, it's not going to work. Because I can tell you large megas right now that if you watch there, it goes like this. You see, the young adult is looking for a new identity, a new way. They're looking for a mate. And they didn't find a mate in that high school group they grew up in. Nothing against the others that are there, it just didn't connect. and we can become critical, or we can trust the gospel and the good news we taught them, that the Holy Spirit will use that. Jesus used some story called Prodigal Son, some kid that ran away from dad, and he was way out in the middle of who knows where. Things fell totally apart. Sometimes things have to fall apart in lives before we wake up. You aware of that? We need confidence that the gospel that we taught them is alive and well, and that seed is perfectly alive, and they're not getting away from it. I love the story of my 70-year-old uncle that finally got back to God. And his, one of his last comments, last time I ever saw him before he died, he said, "Steve, just tell the people, keep on praying. Keep on loving. First of all, I want you to take faith in Jesus as Lord. He doesn't quit, and the Holy Spirit doesn't quit." Yes, I'm disappointed. But I know God is working in each one of these young people's lives. That's faith. Love. Keep the bridges open. Keep contact. Don't get defensive when they become aggressive. That's their problem. The more aggressive are, just know that the Holy Spirit's bugging them on the inside, and they're getting angry, and they're mad at you because of what the Holy Spirit's done. So just blame the Holy Spirit. And the third is hope. Don't call a new pastor that's going to all of a sudden go out and find all these young adults. You need someone who's going to nurture you in the faith, because you're the ones that are the connections, not the pastor, not some big program. Program never saved anybody yet. Am I disappointed? You bet. Does my heart ache when I think of this group of young adults, many of them your children? Yes. It eats away at me. And I've been through the what if I had only, what if we, if only, I've been through that. But recently God's been saying, don't you trust my gospel anymore? Don't you trust my, don't you remember the times that you went through questions? Did I have someone there? Yeah, Lord. You didn't realize faith, love, and hope was going to get so close, did you? The ones you need to feel sorry for are your kids. Because let me tell you this, God's not done. Speaking through the apostle Peter, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let me plug your faith here. Not a day goes by but what the Holy Spirit isn't prompting. It's called conviction. It's called invitation. It's called God's love. While praying this morning, an old song, hymn that we used to sing growing up, just kept coming over my mind over and over. So let me close with this, and then Danita and team, just be ready to lead us in a song that God laid on your heart. But it was an old hymn. Here's the lyrics of it. So it's not on, I don't have it on screen yet. Jesus, my King, my wonderful Savior, all of my life is given to Thee. I am rejoicing in Thy salvation. Thy precious blood now maketh me free. Freedom from sin, oh wonderful story, all of its stains washed whiter than snow. Jesus has come to live in His temple, and with His love, my heart is aglow. Jesus, my Lord, I'll ever adore thee. Lay at thy feet my treasures of love. Lead me in ways to show forth thy glory, ways that will end in heaven above. When in that bright and beautiful city I shall behold thy glories untold, I shall be like thee, wonderful Savior, and I will sing while the ages unfold. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, thou art so near, so precious to me. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, my heart is filled with praises to thee. I just kept going through my mind over and over and over. It just doesn't fit guitar style. It's one of those songs that no matter how you try. Faith, love, hope. Join with the song that